Yeah, boy, I'm glad to be here. I couldn't help it last night after the ranch rodeo. Miss Robin, she's getting good with that video camera thing. She videotaped everything, and I was watching the mugging down there. I know exactly why y'all come to these ranch rodeos. You like the blood and the guts. That's it. And you love to see yearlings blow snot all over the preacher. That year, blew snot everywhere, and all I heard was hee. Y'all thought that was funny. I got it on tape. Hey, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to continue in this series. I tell you what, boy, I've been excited thinking and looking and reading and studying about heaven. And, but we are looking at this thing through worldly eyes. And Paul, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, give them enlightened the eyes of their heart. Look there in verse 17 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It's where the base of where I read in this series. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul's praying this prayer. Remember, he's excited about this awesome, awesome church that's hitting on all cylinders. In verse 17, he says that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. And here we go. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. In other words, he's praying, God, let them see through your eyes. They have human hearts. They have human minds, human eyes. Lord, you enlighten the eyes of their heart that they may know the hope which they've been called. And here's the focus of today's message is what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Let's pray. God, we just pray this morning, the same prayer that Paul prayed here. I'm asking that you enlighten the eyes of our hearts to the riches of our glorious inheritance in all the saints, all that come to you, that surrender to you. Lord, this world has got us tired, has got us beat up, has got us, we've brought baggage in here with us this morning. We've brought struggles in our families, in our finances, the health, with our jobs, just worry, Lord, anxiety, all kinds of things just piled up. It's like each one of us are dragging an 18-wheeler of junk behind us. And Lord, we're here today and we need you to take that junk off of us. And Lord, we got a worldly perspective right here this morning. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, allow the Holy Ghost to give us a heavenly perspective on where we're at in this world and what we got coming to us for all those that are saints that have surrendered to you. So Lord, give us a glimpse of the awesomeness of what you have prepared for us and our glorious inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we go. In Revelations chapter 21 and verse 4. Last week we answered four questions. Who's going to receive this inheritance? Who's not going to receive it? What's it going to be like and how big is it? We gave dimensions of heaven, all kinds of stuff. If you miss that, go to the website and look in multimedia and it'll be there for you. And we acknowledge, we said that this heavenly inheritance is only for those, for only one kind of person, and that's the one that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the things we're going to look at in verse 4 of chapter 21, look at that with me. He begins to share how in heaven, and this sounds impossible because we can't understand this, but in heaven, there's going to be perfect pleasure every day. Look what he says here in the scripture, verse 4. Ephesians chapter, I keep saying Ephesians. Can y'all get me lined out this morning, please? Okay, get me straight. We're in, where are we at? Revelations. I told you I was tired. Now y'all just going to have to put up with me. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 4. Here we go. Check this out. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have all passed away. He is going to wipe away every tear. Every piece of sadness is going to be gone. Death, so much a part of our lives. Maybe a fear in your life here today, and heaven is never going to be a fear, never going to be anymore. You'll never see it, never be a part of your life at all. Neither will there be even mourning, sadness, or crying. No more pain, guys. Woo! You know what that means? No titanium is allowed in heaven. How many of y'all got titanium in you, baby? Man, I thought there's more of us than that. Y'all not as rough a crowd as I thought you were. No titanium allowed in heaven. There's going to be perfect. Guys, there's going to be perfect, perfect, perfect pleasure. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Just awesome, awesome, perfect, perfect pleasure in heaven. Everything's going to be made brand new. Nothing's going to be wore out. Your body's not going to be wore out. You're not going to have to drive an old wore out Dodge truck around like I got it sitting out there. Yeah, just hoping I'm going to get back home and back up here at 2 o'clock for the barrel race. You're not going to have to worry about anything being wore out. It's all going to be new. Oldness will never show up. Wore outness will never show up. Brokenness, broken body, broken spirit, broken mind, broken hearts never going to happen in heaven. Never sadness, never going to have a bad day. Never going to feel bad. That's good. We can't understand that. That's impossible. That's why Paul's saying, God, enlighten the eyes of their heart to the immeasurable greatness, the glory of heaven that they have coming, their inheritance. Help them to get just a glimpse of what's there. You're not going to have a bad day. Everything's made new every single day. Think about the best day you've ever had in your whole wide life. Mine was when Miss Robin come down that aisle. Woo, son, look at her. It looked good. It was awesome. And I got that picture in my mind. That's nothing compared to multiplying that times a million and then some forever and ever and ever. The best day of your life. Over and over and over will never compare. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in thy presence is joy evermore. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Ephesians 2, 7 says, God wants to shower. Like, did y'all take a shower? I hope you did. Bath, something. I mean, he just wants to shower you with his blessings in heaven. I want you to look at something. This is awesome. In James chapter 1. Just to your left, just a little bit. James chapter 1, verse 16. This is real profound, guys. I'm warning you. I'm telling you in advance so you'll get it. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Awesome book. You want to learn how to live? There you go. This is it. Here we go. You ready? Starting in verse 16. James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not be deceived, my brother. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights. Listen, anything you've ever enjoyed that's good, your health, your wealth, your house, your family, a good horse, your abilities, relationships, anything that you have ever enjoyed has come from above. And we're going to be in that every single solitary day, just overwhelmed with that awesomeness. Look at the second part of that verse. Comes down from the Father of lights. Look here. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I've read that for a long time, and God finally showed me what it is. Of whom there is no variation, no shadow of change. And now, listen, this morning, I was up about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. We was out there at Cooper Tire and got to share a message out there with a bunch of the hands out there, and I was privileged and proud to do it. But the sun ain't come up yet. It was dark when I walked in that building. And the sun's up now. But here in a little bit, the sun's going to start going down again. You see, the sun never changes, right? and the world rotates around, goes around the sun. Isn't that how it works? And that shadow is a shadow cast right here when it gets dark on the world. Now, life is a whole lot like it, guys. You know, one day you're in the sunlight of God, and it seems like everything's going just absolutely unbelievable, incredible. And the next time, it just seems like all hell's breaking loose in your life. It's never the same. This world and circumstances in life are a shifting shadow. It always is changing. People going to deal you a bad deal. Okay? Sin's going to be a shifting shadow. It's going to affect you because of sin in our lives. It may not even be sin that you've committed. Somebody's sin next to you is going to affect you. There's going to be a shifting shadow of variation in your life. Guess who else deals you shifting shadows? The devil himself and all of his demons. And so there's always this constant, and we don't feel like the good things are coming from God. Why? It's not because God's not good and he has all these wonderful things for you. It's because life is a shifting shadow. Your circumstances are a shifting shadow, and Satan is always dealing you, and you're making choices on your own. Self is a shifting shadow. Always, constantly changing, turning, shifting. One moment you're in the light of God and things are going great, and the next thing everything's blowed up in your life. But in this day of heaven, in this day standing before the Lord, there is no turning. There is no turning away from the sun. The sun's going to be there all the time, the glory of God. There will be no variation, no shifting of shadow. The daylight's going to be there all the time. It'll be the glory of God himself. So you only are going to experience the goodness of God. That's heaven enough. Every day, because there is no shifting shadow of sin or people or Satan. Every place you go, you're going to run into God. And every place you go, you run into God, you're going to run into God's goodness. Every single solitary day times a billion years. Praise God. That's going to be good. That's heaven. We can't understand it. I said, Brother Todd, you're a fool, man. That don't ever happen. And it's never going to happen here on this earth. But it will happen in glory. And he's saying, God, enlighten the eyes of their heart so that they'll see the hope of his glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Just want to show you a couple of scriptures. I think it's important that you look at the word of God. It says it's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It's good for reproof, correction. My words are worthless. God's words count for all eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. He begins to give us a glimpse, and we've talked about this perfect pleasure, but also heaven's going to have perfect knowledge. Now you think about that, perfect knowledge. Look what this verse says. For now we see in a dim mirror. In other words, it's foggy. You can't see real clearly. But then, talking about when we come before the Lord in heaven, then it'll be face to face. Everything's going to be made clear. Says, now I know only in part, but then I shall know fully. I'm talking about fully, everything, knowledge, fully, even as I have been fully known. He says here in heaven, I'm going to know like I'm known. Man, God says he knows the hairs on your head. He understands everything. Not only that you got, what's the different arteries you got in and out? It's all I know. You got blue and black on the pictures and everything. He's got all that figured out. He understands when an artery gets damaged, how to repair. And all those little finger nerves going all through your body that manage your body in our control center. 96% of your body is used to run the organs of your body, your nervous system. Not only 6% of it runs pain. He understands every little piece, man. He made you out of dirt. He spoke you into existence. He's got full knowledge of all that. He understands photosynthesis of all the trees, and he understands what ammonium nitrate can do to grass when it rains. When he's the one that created all that stuff, okay? And the Bible says we're going to have full knowledge. You know, how many of y'all got encyclopedias in your house? Anybody? Y'all still got them, huh? You hoping you're going to get rich off of them one day or something like that, you know? Back when I was a child, we had door-to-door salesmen. Y'all stay with me on this. They'd come by, and you'd buy a real nice set of encyclopedias with color pages, and that's how we tried to learn stuff. Tried. Some of y'all did. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better with an encyclopedia. But now we don't have encyclopedias, do we? What do we have? Kingputers. And you can push one little old button on one of those search engines and shoop, you got information all over creation, right? Now, if dummy man is smart enough to figure all that out where we can push one button, don't you think God's going to have us like that in heaven? He says we'll have all knowledge, so in heaven we're going to have perfect knowledge. Brother Todd is going to be a genius. And I know that's hard to believe, but you're going to be in there with me. We're just going to laugh at each other. You know this? Yeah, I know that. What about that? Yeah, I knew that too. We're just going to brag on how we're genius in heaven. It's going to be good. But not only that, we're going to have a perfect life. Look at Revelations chapter 22. Revelations 22, verses 1 and 2. It's going to get good now. Stay with me. Then the angels showed me the river. There's water there. Ooh, river. I like river. I like fly fishing. I wonder how big the rainbow's up there. Y'all don't go rainbow trout fishing? I'll take you sometime. The angels, they showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal. You can see the bottom down there. Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, there's a tree of life. Tree of life, which is, it says, 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Over and over. It's not just a long season. It's every month we got new fruit coming on this deal. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Awesome, awesome, perfect life. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, they tried to trip Jesus up, and he was talking about what's it going to be like in heaven. He said, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? And he says, who's going to be this person's husband and this person's wife and all this? He said, neither. He said, you're going to be like angels. When we get this glorified body in the new heaven, we're going to be like angels. Angels are some bad dudes. I wouldn't mind being a bad dude. I ain't no bad dude now. You saw me run backwards when that yearling blew snot all over me last night if he was here. Angels are bad. One of them killed a whole army with the jawbone of an ass. Just a bone. You know, Micah won't even face Satan on the earth. But when you read through Revelations, through the tribulation period, there was one angel so bad, one, he grabbed a hold of Satan and chained him up and threw him in hell. One angel grabbed Satan. One. And it says, we're going to be like angels. Now, what have angels done? Man, they've appeared. Don't have to get a plane ticket, guys. Just, I want to go 1,500 miles up to the top of heaven, to the throne, and boom, you're there. You take your grandpa, you meet him, he said, son, come here and look at what God did over him. And just, boom, you're there. Oh, there's a mountain there. Let's just walk right through the thing and pop out on the other side. Not only did he say we're going to be like angels, but he said that we're going to be like him. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Just right there by Revelations. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. I get excited about all this because my old body, I'm limited, bad limited. More ways than one, you know that. But I'm going to Alabama to do a school next week, and I'll be back here Sunday morning to preach as long as the airline doesn't mess things up. But I have to book that ticket. I'm going to have to get in a vehicle, and I'm going to have to drive to Dallas this next Friday morning, like at 4:30 in the morning. I got to get on a plane at Love Field at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to go all the way over to Alabama, and I'll be there like at noon. in Alabama. And then Saturday, I get on a plane at 4 o'clock, and I come back to Love Field. And all that traveling, back and forth, and how we move around. Look what God says here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." Are y'all starting to get a glimpse of why he's saying, God, you got to do this. You enlighten the eyes of their heart to their inheritance. It's only going to come from God. It says, "And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." We're going to be like Jesus. "Because we shall see him as he is." Now, Jesus gave us a lot of examples of things that he did when he walked on the earth. See, he got his glorified body. He was in his state like Jesus. And when he was in his glorified state when he ascended to heaven, when he was walking around, he just, boop, appeared. They were in a closed room, the disciples were, and he just, boom, appeared. If you're going to be like that, you're just going to be able to, boom, appear somewhere. Be able to go through walls, through rock, anything. And he said, "Look at my hands here." Any of y'all like to eat? I can tell by looking at you, a lot of you like to eat, like me. Jesus ate with the disciples. We're going to be able to eat in heaven. Praise God. All these things, we'll be able to walk on a cloud. On the water. I won't even need my waders to go fly fish. I just walk out there, look around here. Woo, look over here. It's going to be good, guys. We're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. Revelations 22, verse 2. Look at that. Read this earlier. It says, "Though in the middle of the street, in the city also, either side of the river, there's the tree of life, and the 12 kinds of fruit yielded. The beauty of heaven is going to be there for us to enjoy. The trees, the water, the fruit, the throne of God, 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high." Look at Revelations 22, verse 3 and 5. Continues to paint a picture of what we have to enjoy. "No longer will there be anything accursed." In other words, we've already talked about that last week. The curse of sin is gone. It happened in Genesis 3. All that's gone. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be like it, and his servants will worship him." We're going to be able to worship him day in, day out. "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more." I was telling you this earlier. "They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light," physically, spiritually, "and they will reign forever and ever and ever." It's going to be good. Y'all know the story about Cinderella. Cinderella, Cinderella. And how she got the opportunity to be blessed, and she got all dutied up and everything, and she went to the ball, and she was a princess. And she got to meet the prince. And they hit it off pretty good. And they were having them a large time, and what happened at midnight? Everything went back to being the way it was. But there was one little thing that was left, a little slipper, right? And that prince, he looked high and low, and he put all of his energy into finding Cinderella, Cinderella. But she was nowhere to be found, because why? They were hiding her out. No wicked stepmother was telling her she wasn't worth anything. She wasn't a princess. She said, "You keep on cleaning. You keep on washing clothes. You keep on scrubbing floors." And those wicked step sisters were just telling her, "She's not worth a thing. She's not worth anything." Now listen to me, but they were still looking. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered your life to him, listen, you're living in a world right now where you got a wicked stepmother called the devil, and he's trying to tell you you're nothing. and you're worthless. And you got wicked stepsisters called demons that are running around here telling you're worthless and you're not worth a thing. And they're telling you while you're scrubbing floors and while you're working and you're sweating and working your fingers to the bone that you're worthless and all this. But listen here, one of these days in heaven, you're going to stand with him and you're going to see him face to face and you're going to be a prince, son. You're going to be a princess. And it's all going to be brand new. It's all going to be awesome. And you're going to be there with the Lord in all of his glory. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And heaven is going to be your home. It's going to be made new. And when he comes, you're going to live life happily ever after. You're going to live life happily ever after. You're never going to have to deal with the wicked stepmother, the devil, or the wicked stepsisters, the demons, ever again. That's heaven. That is heaven. One verse. I read this last week. Revelations 21, verse 26. You have to see this. You have to understand this. Revelations 21 and verse 26. They will bring into it the glory and honor of all the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter in to heaven here, nor anything whose does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Guys, you need to understand that heaven is an unbelievable place. But you better understand that hell is just as real. You come to the Lord, and he calls you. And he knocks on the door of your life, and you don't let him in. And you die in that state. The Bible says that you will be cast into a lake of fire where there is torment. All the goodness of God is completely gone. The perfect life is never, ever, ever anywhere close. The perfect knowledge, the only knowledge you're going to have is the day that you rejected Christ and you had a chance to surrender. But you chose your life, you chose your family, you chose your career. You want to go to heaven, but you didn't want to live for God. You came to church and you just kind of watched and you didn't come to a point of true surrender before the Lord. And when you stand before him, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. You say, but Lord, Lord, I was a member of Circle J Cowboy Church. You say, but Lord, Lord, I was in leadership at Circle J Cowboy Church. You say, but Lord, Lord, I did all these good things, and I gave all this money to the building fund so they could build. But Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff. And he's going to look you in the eye, face to face, and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Don't you dare look at me and tell me that can't happen to you. Because it almost happened to me. 29 years I lived a lie, not knowing a Savior. And now I know a Savior. And now I know there's nothing you or hell can do to keep me from getting to heaven. That's a good place to be, guys. That is a good place to be. The Bible says that it's his will that none should perish, but all you, me. He wants us to have eternal life. He made this place for you. But it'll only be yours if you accept him. I want to give you an opportunity to go to this place with me. Those that have surrendered to him. Let's do that right now. God, we pray in Jesus' name that you do this. You enlighten the eyes of our hearts to the incredible, glorious inheritance that you have for saints. But there are some here today that aren't heirs. And I'm going to ask, Lord, that you deal with that man and that woman, that young person today, just like you dealt with me, Lord. Just get in their hip pocket this morning. Let them know that you really are speaking to them. Let them know, God, that you really are calling them right now. If you're calling them, Lord, let them know. If you're willing to get that right with the Lord, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of salvation, of repentance with me between you and him. Say, God, I need you. I want heaven. but I have not surrendered to you. I thank you for dying on the cross to pay the price for my sin. And so I ask you to forgive me. I need to be forgiven. Please forgive me in Jesus' name of all the choices, all the wrong, all the sin in my life. And right now I pray to receive Jesus. I open the doors of my life and invite you in. If you're here today and you have already committed your life to the Lord and you've been living like there's no tomorrow, I'm going to pray that God give you, enlighten the eyes of your heart to your inheritance that he has for you. So God, just enlighten the eyes of our hearts. As we work for you on our ministry teams, as we work for you in your glory, in our families, in our jobs, and wherever we're at, God, remind us of heaven every day. Help us to know that this too will pass, this momentary affliction of this world, and one day we're going to be able to spend all eternity with you. Lord, enlighten the eyes of our hearts to that. In Jesus' name, amen.